Very interesting.
All right, my name's Ryan. I'm from Oregon State University. I'm talking about research we conducted in collaboration with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Agricultural Research Station in Corvallis, Oregon. So we're looking at high bush blueberry, and when you want to think about what are the conditions that high bush blueberry favor, it helps to think about where they're adapted to, which is acidic peat bogs. And peat bogs tend to have really high organic matter content, acidic pH, which is tend to be between 4.5 and 5.5 is kind of the range that blueberry favors. Blueberry has a real shallow fibrous root system, and they like it to be well drained and aerated. And they associate with ericoid mycorrhizae. So in Oregon, blueberry has, the acreage devoted to blueberry has really taken off. And growers will typically mulch blueberry with acidic coniferous sawdust, the fir sawdust, usually use a couple, 2 to 3 inches of mulch of fir sawdust, and also often will incorporate sawdust into the soil in raised beds to provide that kind of drainage and aeration that the blueberry prefers. So in Oregon, sawdust is becoming more rare, more expensive, and also there's a lot more organic growers in Oregon, and they have a real problem overcoming the immobilization of nitrogen in the soil that occurs by the application of sawdust. So the biological breakdown of sawdust in the soil, you're mobilizing all this nitrogen, and the organic growers really have a hard time overcoming that. Compost could be a good alternative, and growers are coming to us and asking, well, can we use compost on our blueberry fields? So we wanted to look at different kinds of compost. One of the problems with compost and blueberry production is they tend to be neutral in pH or alkaline in pH, and they also can have high soluble salts, and we weren't sure how these would impact the plant. We did a systems trial with looking at organic blueberry growth, and one of the treatments was yard debris compost under sawdust mulch, and the plants really liked that and had higher yields. So we wanted to do a trial looking at other kinds of compost and also the effect of acidifying compost. So our objective in this trial was to determine the effects of acidified and non-acidified compost on plant growth and nutrient uptake. We gathered 10 composts created from a bunch of different organic wastes that were available in the Willamette Valley where we are. And as you can see, the range of feedstocks range from dairy, horse manure, the byproduct of mint oil, mint that's grown in the valley and extracted for oil, leaf, yard debris. These are organic materials that are freely available to growers, usually for no expense. When we look at the compost that we gathered, the ones that tend to have the higher pH, as we noticed when we looked across them, were the ones that tended to be created from more manure-based feedstocks. Those are the ones that are circled in brown. So the more manure a compost tended to have, you get up into the pH around high 7s and 8. When we look at the ones that had the lower pH and might be more preferable for blueberry, tended to have more plant-based materials in them, like the leaves, the yard debris, the grass mint, the bark with that was composted with biosolids. And there's an exception to every rule, so the peppermint compost had a high pH, high soluble salt content in the plant-based, more plant-based compost. And if you look up in the manure-based compost, you have the horse compost, which really varies depending on how much bedding is in that horse compost. And this particular horse compost had a lot of bedding in it, so it drew the pH down and had lower soluble salts. Also had a range of the nitrogen that would be available to the plants and the carbon to nitrogen content. You can compare that at the bottom with the fir sawdust, which is the grower standard. Very high carbon to nitrogen ratio of 400 and very low soluble salts and low pH. So we wanted to acidify our compost to see if that would make a difference. There wasn't really a good method to do this, so we developed our own method. We titrated our tin compost in the laboratory with dilute sulfuric acid, and we used that to predict how would the compost respond to the biological acidification with elemental sulfur. So after our titration, we added elemental sulfur in the amount that we predicted would drop the compost pH by 2.5 units. And we were pretty close to our goal. We achieved about 2 units of pH decrease across all our compost. And you can see a commensurate increase in the electrical conductivity or the soluble salts of the compost, which is what we expected to see. So This was a method that we developed, and I had a poster that I presented yesterday here at this conference. If you're interested, you can look up my name and take a look at those methods. So after acidifying our compost, we conducted a plant response experiment for 78 days. We grew one-year-old blueberry in the greenhouse, and the treatments were acidified and non-acidified compost. We mixed them with 60% silt loam soil, pH 5.4, which is kind of typical for in the valley, and 30% compost, 10% pumice. And we had soil only and then the sawdust kind of grower standard as the controls. And these composts were incorporated into the soil as well as the sawdust in this particular experiment. On day 78, we had a destructive harvest of all of our plants. One thing I didn't mention, these plants were managed under low nitrogen content, so that's something to keep in mind when you look at the results. When we harvested the plants, we separated the new and old above-ground growth. For the root growth, it was really hard with the young plants to separate the roots from the soil and the compost and the growing media. So we measured the average root growth from the initial cell into the surrounding media, and that was the way we could assess how are the roots liking this to grow in. So here's a visual layout of our results. On the top of this graph is the dry weight, the new growth dry weight of the above ground part of the plant. In the bottom, you can see the root growth, the centimeters of growth into the surrounding media. And here are the treatments here. We had significant effect of the compost, the significant effect of acidification or sulfur, and a significant interaction in all across these treatments. When we did linear contrast, we wanted to compare how did the compost compare to the control of the soil only or the control of the sawdust with soil. We found the compost increased the above-ground growth of the plant, and you can kind of compare that to the below-ground growth here. Compost generally increased that compared to the controls over here on the right, whereas the soil and the sawdust were putting more energy into the root growth than the top growth. Here's images of the plants at harvest. So once again, here's the sawdust, and you can see it's putting almost all of its energy into below-ground growth. So it's proliferating the roots all throughout the pot, looking for nitrogen, which is immobilized by the sawdust, or at least that's what we conferred. When you look at the two categories, the compost with more manure in them tended to produce lower plant growth, which is kind of what we had predicted, and those with more plant-based contents produce higher plant growth. The exception was the mint, which started out with a very high pH, so that tends to make sense, and the exception here with the horse, which also had the low pH from the high amount of bedding content. But in general, we could see the more plant-based stuff that was in the compost, the better the plant tended to do. As far as the effect of acidification, it increased the plant growth pretty much across all of our treatments in the root and above ground growth. And the nutrient uptake was also increased across all the treatments with the elemental sulfur acidification. We saw the largest increase in plant growth in the higher pH compost, especially the mint and the mixed manure. And you can see here, this is the mint compost. You had a big increase in plant growth just with the acidification of the compost. When we want to look at what's predicting our plant growth, in general, we were able to get a pretty good correlation with the compost pH and the soil pH. As you can see here, this is the shoot dry weight graphed against the compost pH, and we had a real drop-off in plant growth above pH 7 or 7.5 of the compost. The acidified compost, you can see, produced much better plant growth. The black circles are non-acidified, and we just had a real drop-off in the higher pH. We couldn't get any correlation with the compost in or nitrogen supplied to the plants of the plant growth. So it seemed to be really dependent on the pH of the compost and the pH of the soil. When we look at root growth, we could get a decent correlation with the compost EC or the soluble salts in the compost. However, even though we had a decreasing root growth with increasing compost EC, we also saw that compost acidification increased the plant growth. And you can see kind of a shift in the curve to the right. So even though we had higher EC from acidification, we actually had higher root growth. So this led us to believe that pH was a greater limiting factor in this trial than the salinity of the compost. As far as the soil pH, the compost definitely increased the pH of the soil, and that's the big problem that growers are asking us about. And you can see that in the black bars. we had, and the red line in this graph is the native soil pH of 5.4. Amending the compost to the soil really drew the pH up. So highly buffered compost had a great liming effect on the soil, but when we acidify with elemental sulfur, we were able to eliminate that compost liming effect in almost all the compost except for the first one, the dairy hops compost, which is a very high pH, highly buffered compost. So the conclusions of this plant growth experiment was that the compost, if you look across our compost, they had high pH. The ones that had higher pH also had higher EC and nutrient content. So you really can't separate what these effects from each other. But we can say that plants grew best in compost with low pH, low EC, and low nutrient content, which tend to be the characteristics of the plant-based feedstocks. Acidification with elemental sulfur was successful in this experiment in increasing the plant growth and nutrient uptake, even though we had an increase in soluble salts. And so in selecting a compost for blueberry, nitrogen content is really not as important as the pH and the EC. Thanks. Compost for blueberries should have a pH of less than 7.5, and it's looking at EC of less than 2, and that's at a 1 to 10 ratio of compost to water, which is the way we did it in this experiment. So thank you so much, and we have a couple minutes for questions.
Any questions for...
It is an option. That's kind of like the further experiments that we want to do down the road. Like I mentioned, we had a systems trial with yard debris compost under sawdust, and that did really well. So we do believe that that is a good option, top dressing. At planting, they will be able to incorporate compost as well. But yeah, top dressing will probably have less of an effect of increasing the soil pH with these higher pH composts.
We did something similar to that, and the problem that we had with different type of compost was the weed. So sometimes
right.
You get like a weed pressure that was really hard to control, and
right.
Especially in organic. So we were doing that in organic system, and we couldn't spray anything, and it was really a big problem. So did you see any effect of like weeds with the compost, or it was like well composted stuff with no weed?
No, weed growth is a problem with compost. In our organic systems trial, we saw a lot more weed growth with the yard debris, even though it was under the sawdust. So one option that growers are looking at is like a fabric weed mat, geotextile weed mat, and then you can put the compost under that. However, that incurs a big expense for the growers. So, yeah, but it does increase weed growth, definitely.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.